pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
We welcome you back. Clark Lee will join us in 30 minutes to talk about Vanderbilt's opening of spring ball. Kevin is up next in Houston. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, Paul. I thought you guys could use a little positive reinforcement today, so I wanted to call in and give a couple of shout-outs.
Sure.
First one, I wanted to shout-out to Squirrel. I heard y'all's conversation about NOLA a couple of weeks ago, and I got in touch with Squirrel. He gave me a great restaurant. So you need to talk to him about Couvent. It was a great place to eat in New Orleans. And the second one is I've also talked with Matt, and I'm just following up on Jason's comment. And I'll tell you, you know, yeah, Matt's a very good guy. You know, he's passionate. He's excited about things. Gets easily excited. But yeah, he's a good young man. And, you know, he's just you know, excited, and you're right. He's going through some rough times right now, and I'm glad you mentioned that. So that's all I got. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Kevin. You be well. You take care of yourself, and let's check in next with Jordan, who is in Alabama. Hello, Jordan.
Yay! Okay, Paul, I called in on Monday, but I was on a walk and accidentally hung up the phone. But I just wanted to say, War Eagle, I love my Auburn Tigers. I think that this is going to be a repeat of the 2019 season when we won the SEC and we made it to the Final Four. I think this year our team has such great chemistry. Bruce Pearl is just the GOAT, the best person ever. I am very annoyed by us still being a four seed, and they put Kentucky above us. They put us all the way out in Spokane, Washington, along with all the other Alabama schools. What are your thoughts on us being in Spokane?
Well, it's certainly inconvenient, unless you're chartering a plane from Alabama and taking everybody with you. But
trying to screw Auburn.
Well, I understand fans saying that, but I seriously don't believe that's exactly how it works out. Greg Byrne is on the committee. As you probably know, he would have to recuse himself when it comes to schools that he is close to. I just think that, unfortunately for Auburn, winning Sunday did not help them one bit in terms of the seeding.
I want to repeat what kind of Charles Barkley said about how the SEC tournament, you know, did nothing for us. I guess, is it really true that they don't go into the analytics on Saturday and Sunday, that we should have our tournament
on
Friday?
Well, they go into it on Saturday, but by Sunday morning, most everything is on that board except the remaining games.
Yeah.
So the remaining games were the Big Ten. They could figure that one out. The AAC? It didn't matter because neither team was very good in terms of ranking. So it was, you basically have either ors. I remember one year
we dominated the tournament.
Yeah, I mean the Big Ten game ended; it went late, and the the bracket had already leaked, so you know it didn't have any impact. Hey, thanks for the call, but I think all this stuff about conspiracy theories. I mean, if you want to compare yourself to Kentucky, I understand that, but Kentucky did pound you pretty badly at home. I think that hurt Auburn in terms of being ranked ahead of Kentucky. Auburn still has a good shot at making the Final Four, in spite of that. Chad is in Georgia. Chad, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today? I'm a longtime caller and listener.
And you're doing great. Thank you.
I appreciate it. I was just going to ask you about this Carson Beck deal. You know, he just got that brand new $300,000 Lamborghini, and we've had that bad wreck, you know, a couple years ago, right after the national championship, because they were street racing.
Yeah, we all remember that, sadly.
And these kids just seem, you know, a little bit too young to be driving around in brand new Lamborghinis. That's just my opinion, and I was just going to get yours on that, and I have one more question after that.
Well, Chad, I understand. Listen, I mean, nobody wants to hear what I drove because I didn't have a car his age or anybody else. He's entitled to that because of his stature. It is legit. Is it a little much? We probably think so. He probably doesn't. As long as you're responsible, it doesn't matter whether you're driving Denny Hamlin's car or a beat up jalopy. So I think that's the most important thing. Go ahead. What's your second question?
Yeah, I understand. It's legal, and there really ain't nothing we could do about it. Yeah, I get you. But the next question was about Quinshon Judkins, you know, leaving Ole Miss. You think that had anything to do with the NIL? I mean,
No. I tell you what I think it had a lot to do with is he got on the wrong side of a coaching staff. Did that have something to do with NIL? My guess is yes, it did. And everybody that age, Chad, handles making money differently. And he felt, based on the people that I know, like he was worth more, and they did not. They were bringing in a lot of players in the portal that they valued more than him. I think they'll miss him, though. Let's check out Expired up next in Texas.
Expired. Hey, Paul, how's it going, man?
We are doing
great.
How's it going
today?
Fantastic.
Sweet, man. I've been, first of all, Matt in San Antonio. Don't worry about old knucklehead from Louisiana or where the hell he is, Dwayne, out in the ocean somewhere. You know, he's sniffing some oil or something. I'm not sure, Matt. But, man, hang in there, man. We love you. We love you, and you're going through a tough time, and we're all going to come get drunk at your wedding. Let's put it like that. Secondly, Paul, Logan came on yesterday and was – I think he was trying to put me down, and I had a real hard time calling today because I was so hurt by his words. They were just so devastating to me. Logan did such a great job of putting me down. But anyways, Logan, your call sucked yesterday, okay? You really did. You are by far the worst caller on here besides Louisville, John.
Hey, listen,
Louis.
Expired. When you say somebody's the worst caller on this show, do you realize what you're saying?
Well, I'm trying to say the truth, and somebody will be worse than you, Logan, so hang in there. Somebody is going to be worse than you, but I really called, Paul, to let you know that Logan's wife, not ex-wife, his wife has been found, okay?
So that was a lady that he's still married to but separated and about to be divorced, except she went back to Canada.
Correct, but she has been found in Washington, D.C. She was appointed by President Biden. She is the 17th Assistant Secretary of Health, and her name is Rachel Levine. Hey, Paul, you have a great day.
Wow.
Talk to you later.
I must have missed that on my news feed today. Let's check out John, who is in Texas as well. Two Texans back-to-back.
Hello.
Hey, good afternoon, John.
Good afternoon. I've been a follower of you for a long time.
Well, thank you.
Even back when you had a program in Birmingham, Alabama.
Yes,
and
sir.
You wrote for the paper.
Well, I appreciate you remembering me.
And what if this NIL money that these players are getting, what if they could get a little, like NASCAR or Pro Rodeo Association, a little patch to go on the jersey or helmet? Who's giving the money, you know? It could be restaurant.
Don't be surprised if we see that one day.
Well,
you're interviewing the winning quarterback after the game, and he says, I want to thank my sponsors, STP Motor Oil and Golden Flake potato chips and Coca-Cola, and of course
the law firm is represented.
Yeah, I got to thank everybody because I wouldn't be able to make that winning touchdown catch without all my sponsors.
Yeah, I just wanted, and then we know where all the money is coming from too. You know.
That is by the way, John, you have just foretold the future there. Hey, thank you for remembering. I used to be a writer. We appreciate it. We're up against the break. Clark Lee, he'll be the head coach. He is the head coach of Vanderbilt as they get ready for the season coming up shortly.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We are back. We appreciate it. And Clark Lee will join us in just a couple of minutes to get a look at what Vanderbilt has in store for the spring. And let's check in with Tanner in Tuscaloosa. Hello, Tanner.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Tanner, welcome.
Well, Paul, it's a beautiful day here in Tuscaloosa. The birds are chirping. The flowers are blooming. There's a cool breeze in the air. If it wasn't for all this dang pollen, I'd say it's paradise. But, Paul, I heard a caller earlier today trying to apply logic to your caller bracket, and I would just advise him to get a call his local proctologist. He'll check to see if he's got some logic. but Paul, there's a rumor swirling around Tuscaloosa about a certain somebody transferring back here, and I can't say if that's true or not, but I'll say this. When you've been to the promised land and you've tasted the milk and honey, Iowa just ain't the same. Roll Tide, Paul.
Yeah, Tanner, and not only that, Proctor is from Iowa. He originally committed to the university there. Then he changed his mind and signed with Alabama. And then after one season, he decided to go back. And probably after spending 5 or 6 weeks in Iowa City, after spending a year and a half in Tuscaloosa, he said, I'm out of here. I mean, and wouldn't you? Let's get back to the calls here. James is up next.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Hey there, James.
Hey, I had a question and a couple of comments. I was just curious about the NIL. Like, just say you use Caleb Downs, for instance. Okay, do they do that just renew the contract on NIL deals every year, or do they, or could the NIL go in and give them just say like, for instance, Caleb Downs would have played football for probably 3 years, left in his junior year. Could they have given him maybe a 3-year deal, and if he would have left early, and him have to give that money back?
That's a little tricky. I think most of these deals are for 1 year, which gives both sides a way out in case they don't feel like they're getting their money's worth.
Okay.
They would never tell you that, but that is the reality of it. These are not easy things to do. Every time the university figures out a way to make these work, and there's a lot of figuring out. You could probably do it any way you wanted because there is regulation through the universities, and then there is a great deal that happens under the table, the fact that right now the NCAA literally has no authority, and that's some of their own admission. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Shane is up next in Tennessee. Hello, Shane.
Good afternoon, Mr. Paul Feinbaugh.
Hey there.
Just a couple quick things, my friend.
You bet.
Just want to tell you how great the show was when you were in Nashville. I love the show Monday and Tuesday with Big O and Michael Bivens. You actually reunited with me with an old acquaintance, Cousin Shane. I seen him on the show, and now we've reconnected, and I spoke with him. So thank you so much.
Hey, I need to ask you, how did you know Cousin Shane? I mean, were you guys in prison together?
No, sir. He actually married a girl that growed up about 2 miles from me in Elizabethton, Tennessee.
Oh, sure.
Yep. And then
I kid about Cousin Shane, but he's really been remarkable. He's been fun to get to know.
He's a great guy. How do I vote on the bracket if I'm not on Facebook or Twitter? Do I need to download that?
Yeah, I tell you what. Once we start the matchups, we'll allow some caller voting as well, just to try to. Most of it is geared to social media, but we will add a. I mean, listen, mail-in ballots. It doesn't matter.
I can download it, Paul.
Well, yeah, but you let us know who you like, and we'll make sure they win. Hey, thanks for the call. Let's check in with Cheerleader next.
Hey, Paul. How in the world are you doing?
Cheerleader.
One of my clients called me and told me I was in the caller bracket. I didn't even know it, but I'm glad to be there with Handsome Joe, and maybe Handsome Joe and I both can win because I really do like him.
Wow, I'm glad to hear that.
And I like it. Yeah. Paul, I think Nick Saban, I heard his speech in Washington, and don't you think he knows more about college football than anybody?
Well, there's no doubt. I don't need to sell somebody in Birmingham on Nick Saban's accomplishments.
Well, of course not, but I think he's great, and I think he retired at the best time, and he got his job done better than anybody else could do it, and I'm proud for him, and I'm glad we had him for all the many years that we did have him. Made us all better, made the whole SEC better, all college football better, as far as I'm concerned.
Made Alabama better.
Paul. Yeah, absolutely. Let me change the subject and ask you a travel question, okay?
Please.
Have you ever been to Apalachicola, Florida?
Now, that is on the Gulf Coast, isn't it?
Yes. It's.
I've been through there. I don't know if I've ever...
My brother moved off 38, and he moved to Appalachian. He's going to build a house over there on the bay. And I happened to be able to go and visit and see exactly where he was. And I'm telling you, if I could move there and not leave all my friends and family, I'd go there in a heartbeat.
Help me with this. Differentiates that from, let's say, the lake or where you are right now?
The history of Apalachicola.
Okay.
And it was the oyster capital of the world until the oil spill came along.
That would be a big selling point for me.
And there, do you like them or not?
Yeah, I like oysters.
No. Yeah. But,
Cheerleader, you're in real estate. I like them, but that would not be the overriding factor for me to buy a house there.
Well, it's the bay. It's the quaintness. It's the people that live in the town. It is not over the top.
Okay.
Real people live there, if
so
you know
it's not,
what I
it's
mean.
Not, it's not snooty like the neighborhood you live in.
Oh, you know, I'm so snooty.
You don't have to be. I know you're not, but I am familiar with your domain down there.
But I grew up in a very small town that was 2,500 people.
Where was that?
And Buntstown, Florida, that's an hour and a half on the way to Tallahassee from Apalachicola. And I, changing the subject again, on this trip I made over the weekend, I also went to one of my high school reunions. And there were 69 of us in our class. Most of us went all the way from kindergarten to senior.
Cheerleader, I've never been to either a high school or college reunion. What's it like?
Well, ours is probably not like some of the big tops. We did not have a band.
Yeah.
No alcohol was served. I would have definitely liked a glass of wine, but I can handle that for, you know, an evening.
So you were like a cheerleader, weren't you?
I was. I certainly was.
I cheerleader. I know your past, okay? And by the way, it wasn't that hard to figure out considering your moniker is cheerleader.
Yes.
Hey, Julian, we have to go. Coach Lee is about to join us. We'll talk to Clark Lee from Vanderbilt right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome back. The college football season is not that far away because most of the clubs have now opened spring ball, and that includes Vanderbilt. Coach Clark Lee joins us. And, Coach, I was in Nashville last week for the tournament. A lot of fans were asking me, what's this season look like? I figured, why do I need to offer an answer? I'll let you. Good afternoon. It's great to see you again.
Great to see you, too. Always a pleasure to be with you, Paul. And we're excited to, be underway here. It's good to get back on the grass. This has been a challenging off season, I think, really for all of college football. And I think it's just really feels really good to get attention back on what matters most. And that's the play on the field.
Remember, I believe we were talking to you before the Hawaii game last year, and there just felt like a lot of momentum. Those two big SEC wins against Kentucky and Florida had everybody fired up, and then you got off to a good start in the season, and then I guess the reality check was found. What happened, and how do you overcome that?
Well, there was a point at which, from 22 to 23, we'd won 4 or 5 games, and I think in so many ways. We enjoyed that little stretch. I think results sometimes can be deceiving. And, I've learned a lot about just process and paying attention to the things that ultimately impact the play on the field. Beyond that, we started out 2-0, two games that we should have won. We were the better team. We weren't playing very well. And unfortunately, we weren't able to correct that quickly enough to redirect our season. So there's a lot of factors in that. I think the middle stretch there between Wake Forest, UNLV, and Kentucky, we turned the ball over 10 times. 3 of those went back for touchdowns. And that's not a formula for anyone to win, but certainly that's not a formula for us at Vanderbilt. We have to play the game better. And ultimately, that's what my focus has been on this offseason. We've made a bunch of changes here to help redirect and grab back the momentum that we had there for a stretch. And I think success is seldom linear. I think the story of 2023 can be one where, it taught us about what we need to do to go deeper in our process. And we come out of it evolved and ready to move forward and continue this climb. We're not all the way there yet. And I've told the team, and I'll continue to tell the team, we have to play a certain style of football. We got to be the toughest team in the conference. We have to be the smartest team in the conference. We have to be the most connected team in the conference because we're not good enough to roll the ball out and expect to win. We have to go and earn the victory by not beating ourselves first and by really being really smart in how we design our schemes and systems and take away the strengths of the opponent. The good news for us is, you know, it's my belief that we have everything that we need to win. Now it's about, you know, the preparation, the training, and the coaching to help this team grow forward.
Coach, you can do a lot of things in rebuilding a program, and it seemed like you were doing that. And then in the midst of it all, college football changes, the portal opens, and it's different for every school, but it often seems like you develop a player, make him really good, and somebody comes along and takes them.
Well, it's, you know, look, there's the plan, the blueprint coming in when I accepted this job has to adapt and adjust to the conditions. I think the model is forcing everyone to change. But certainly, I think, you know, with Vanderbilt, we started behind in terms of the having a lot of ground that we needed to make up on our competition in this conference. And I think transfer portal and NIL has challenged our ability to take ground to make up the difference. And so if we stay stagnant, or we don't change, or we don't rally the support of the community, or we don't find the resources, you know, we're not going to be able to make the progress that we need to make to build this program to be what we know it can be. And so, again, for me, it's a matter of adjusting, adapting, understanding that you're not guaranteed anything with respect to retention of players. You know, we can do the things that we control really well within this program, delivering an experience that's holistic in nature, you know, coaching young people to an evolved form as a person and as a player. I still believe that better people make better players, and this is about discipline and all the things that make unique Vanderbilt unique, make us an attractive place to come play college football. We have to add and evolve to do the transactional pieces really well. And if we don't, you know, we're gonna lose players just like any program will. If we do, I think that combined with the things that make Vanderbilt unique and certainly unique in our league, you know, strengthens our position and allows us to be the developmental program that we want to be. But we certainly, Paul, can't take that for granted. And look, I'm not naive to that. And you know, it's where my attention's focused every day. I'm fortunate to have a chancellor and athletic director that understand. But you know, it's time for us to push. It's time for us to be aggressive. You know, we can't sit back and wait. Certainly not in an atmosphere and environment right now where, again, I think it's only more challenging now than it was 3 years ago.
Clark Lee with us, the head coach at Vanderbilt. Some news came out today, which I'm sure you're aware of. Everyone knows what the schedule looks like now. The SEC has decided for one more year, at least, no determination on the future, to remain at 8 conference games as 2 new schools come into the SEC this year. What are your opinion? What are your thoughts and opinions on 8 versus 9?
Oh, you know, to be honest with you, I've been in defensive meetings for the last like 6 hours, so I saw the release because it came through on my email, but I haven't spent a lot of time on it. You know, there's so many things right now that we're putting our attention on as coaches with, you know, recruiting calendars, NIL legislation, trying to find competitive equity again in our game. You know, the schedule, as important as it is, becomes a little bit of a back burner issue just because the urgency that we have to address these other things that are ongoing. As far as, you know, my personal opinion on 8 versus 9, I've always been of the mind that they'll give us the schedule and we'll line up and play the games. And if it's 8, you know, that's awesome. If it's 9, it means obviously that we're going to have one more league game, which is a lot of excitement for the people that love SEC football. Certainly it's another challenge. And when you're talking about playing a 9th SEC game, you're talking about playing against the best in the country. But we're not afraid of doing that here, and we welcome that challenge when it comes. As it is right now, we'll go 8-4 and focus on our team and getting them ready to play the best that we can play.
Coach, you mentioned the athletic director and chancellor, and I feel fortunate to have met and interviewed both of them, and they are extraordinary people, and they have been very supportive of you. What do you hear from them? What conversations have you had that you could share with us about where you are and whether they agree with your alignment in terms of moving this program forward in spite of a very disappointing season?
Well, listen, I operate with their full support. I mean, and again, part of that, Paul, is, you know, the results are the results, and, you know, I'm not satisfied or content with the direction of the program. That's the changes that were made in the off season. I feel like we're back on course now and we have to cover ground, but, you know, the conversations I have with them are about a belief in what we've started. And again, I go back to this idea that, you know, we obviously started out here with a challenging season. I thought we had some progress built in 22. If you look at our each team we put out there, we have lost, you know, some really good players to the portal. We have been slower in adapting our NIL approach. All of those things leave the program exposed, and we're trying to make up that ground. What I know to be true from my position is I've got to make sure that our culture is set. I got to make sure our systems are set, and I got to make sure we have effort in this program that will give us a chance to be the team that we know we can be. And as I self-analyzed from a year ago, I fell short in my responsibilities to accomplish that. And that's why we made the changes we made. But there's no part of me that is concerned about the support of our administration. I was able to sign an extension last summer. There's a belief in what we're building here. There's an understanding that this is going to take some time. I think we're all anxious to get it moving forward and show progress. And we're not interested in waiting around to find the results. But, you know, we've had to make some difficult decisions here and to you know, really look long and hard at again, our systems and process to make sure that we are headed in the right direction. I feel confident that we are. That doesn't guarantee us anything. We have to use every one of the 15 practices this spring to develop our team. I thought we had 8 great weeks in the strength and conditioning program. I'm excited for them to be back immersed in that in the summer, and we have to maximize fall camp. And if we can do that, then we're going to have a chance to find some wins in the fall. And if we don't do that well, then we're going to be kind of stuck in neutral. But I've got confidence that we're moving forward. I've got the support of the administration. I've got a stadium that's still under construction. And I think our program mirrors that. We're not discouraged or defeated by the results of last season. That was a learning experience for us, and we're going to apply it forward. You know, we're excited to do that.
Finally, Coach, what you do is it's a very rewarding experience and it pays well, but it can also be lonely when you need a shoulder to cry on or somebody to maybe seek out advice. And I bring this up because I understand recently the team down the street that plays downtown hired a new coach, Coach Callahan, and I know you are very closely associated with him in many different ways. What is that going to be like, and describe your relationship for us?
Yeah, we you know, Callie and I, we got our start together at UCLA. He was a player there and then stayed on as basically like a defensive intern while I was GAing. And just like any, you know, for any profession, you know, the guys that you get in with, the long hours in the office, you know, at the time, Paul, we're talking about being, you know, 23 in Los Angeles. We had a good time too. So we made sure we were out and about some. But there's always been philosophical alignment there. There's always been, you know, the curiosity on what makes a good coach and how to develop players. And, you know, he was a guy that instantaneously we became close friends, stayed in touch. You know, we're at each other's weddings. And, you know, I feel so fortunate that he's landed here, not just as the head coach at Vanderbilt, and because he's my friend, but as a Nashville community member too. We've got a first-class person, you know, at an organization that really is near and dear to this, you know, Nashville community. So excited for that. And, you know, he's going to be, we've had a chance to share some dinners and hang out a little bit. He'll be around this weekend as we have our coaches clinic. You know, we've kind of made a commitment to each other to make sure we're touching base and you know, going through this experience together. And certainly he's got a lot of wisdom for me. And I think the experience I've had will also help him as he gets his feet underneath him in that role. It's a big responsibility, but always fun to have someone in town in a position like that I've got a personal relationship with. And I'm happy for Callie and happy for the Titans.
Always great to talk to Coach Lee. We hope to see you soon, Coach. Be well and all the very, very best.
Thanks, Paul. Good to see you.
You bet. Coach Clark Lee joining us from Nashville as Vanderbilt opens up spring ball. We'll take a short break, and we are back right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. Dominic is up next in Pittsburgh. Hello, Dominic.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Did you just hear the breaking news?
No, I must have missed it.
Duke Johnson committed to Bama. 7th-rated junior in Georgia. We stole a dog out of Kirby's backyard, Paul.
Well, congratulations, Dominic.
Yeah. And also, Paul, guess what surprise came into the mail today?
What is that?
Well, do you remember at SEC Fanfare the Bush's Baked Beans stand?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, well, I spun that fortune wheel and landed on the Peyton Cannon can opener, and that came today.
Wow. Man, you are one lucky kid.
Yeah, do you want to hear it?
Hear what?
The Peyton Cannon can opener at Pac.
Go for it.
All right.
I'm Peyton Manning, and I approve this can opener. Team greatness is almost yours. Victory. When you come to a fork in the road, pick it up and eat some beans with it. Beans, the beautiful fruit. The more you eat, the more you dominate the competition. Bean appetit. Flex that beautiful bean protein. Imagine that beautiful bean possibility.
Okay, Dominic, I think we heard enough.
Nice. And also, I'm super excited to go to March Madness tomorrow. I wanted to ask you who you got in that Kentucky game because they always choke.
Not this time around.
You don't think so?
No.
Neither do I. Guards take you far in March Madness, and they sure have a lot.
Well, Dominic, great to have you back.
Thanks. And like Peyton said, I'm going to go eat so many beans to dominate Susie. Roll damn tide, Paul. See you later, buddy.
Todd
Good
is up
evening,
next.
Paul.
Hey,
how
Todd.
You doing, buddy?
Hey there.
Hey, yesterday evening I ordered 50 Bibles from Amazon, and they'll be here tomorrow. And so y'all just need to get Legend and get a hold of me or give them my number or something. But anyway, Paul, let me tell you this lawyer story. This is what I was thinking about because Augie has got a way, and Legend has got him figured out because he's got a way of looking big time all the time. But let me tell you, this lawyer here, he ain't got nothing to do with it. He has to have conversations with Dickie Lewis down at Tuscaloosa every day. He ain't got nothing going on. But let me tell you this lawyer story. I got a friend over at Demopolis named Woody Denny. And when we was kids, there was a man named Pat Patterson had a big old ski boat. So when we could get our chores done and get through work in the garden, we'd go to see the landing. It was 3 miles from where I live. We walked down there and wait on Pat to come by, and he'd take us skiing. Well, Woody was in high school, and he had a girlfriend, and she was gorgeous, and her name was Joan Denny. And we had these sissy people that kind of sat in the front of the boat. It was four of them always there, but it never was a problem. And we were always in the back of the boat. And Joan and Woody were back there with us. And Pat had just taken skiing, man, and we loved it. But anyway, one day Joan got too hot, Paul. And she jumped off the end of that boat. And when she come up, she didn't have no top on. She couldn't even get back in the boat because of us 15-year-old kids. We had the boat blocked to where she couldn't get back in. But that was a lawyer's reject right there. So if you get a lawyer's reject, you can get a pretty good woman. But that girl Rhonda McWilliams down there would not have nothing to do with Augie, Paul. I mean, he just wished. But anyway, Paul, I thank you for letting me get that out yesterday. And another thing, Paul, if y'all go to this prison and one guy gets saved, I don't care if they throw the rest of the Bibles away. It'll be worth it to me.
Thank you very much, Todd.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.